If I may have your permission for just a moment to speak only to the men. And if you are a man here that happens to be a husband, or a fiancé, or a boyfriend, today is Valentine's Day. And if you're hearing that for the first time, I cannot help you. It is a day that we, as Lee said, we talk about love and all of that. Trust that it's a great day for you, whatever that may mean. You know, this thing of love, Julie and I went to a concert recently, and because of the season, a lot of the songs were about love. And there's this phrase that we often hear and use that, about falling in love. You've heard that, right? You see somebody and it's very passive. You have no control. It's just suddenly, it's like catching the flu. And that will be the most unromantic thing you hear the entire day, I guarantee it. You know, Wagoner says love is like catching the flu. But it's just something happens to you. You have no control over it. You're swept away. And that is a real thing. Our emotions, it really does happen that way on an emotional level. Julie and I have, this May, will have been married 29 years, and we had dated 2-plus years prior to our wedding, and I remember very distinctly all these years later when I first met her. I had recently moved to Beckley, and the church that I began attending, she was the piano player at this little church, and the preaching was good, but the piano playing somehow caught my attention a little more. And I still remember down in the basement of that church after a service kind of running into her and having a first little conversation. And then I did what all men do in that situation. You know, once things, you get a little attention and that attraction starts, you go and investigate. And two things you don't want to hear that she has. One is a fiancé and one is a boyfriend. You know, if we can get that ruled out, I could just see her, he's off in the army and he'll be back in 6 months, That would have been bad news. But I find out both of those things were clear. And then there comes the moment you got to ask for the first date, it's time to haul your ego out and just lay it on the line, And our first date was on a Friday the 13th. And Friday the 13th had been lucky for me ever since. And it was special. But there's that moment where you just kind of see this person, and some of you have those memories and those thoughts, and some of you anticipate maybe that day will come. But, love has to be a little deeper than just that. That is a real phenomenon and a real thing. But, there is this thing as we talk about, we've been talking about a family survival kit for these weeks of family. Love is the cement that binds marriages together, binds families together, all relationships, and church family as well. It's love. Now, love, we have to understand, has to be, not that there's anything not valid about falling in love, but you have to understand that love, from a biblical perspective, is a bit deeper than that. It's the kind of love that will continue to go on and survive and thrive even when love is challenged, or when there's temptations, or when you have that day when you just don't feel like loving that person, or perhaps something has happened in your relationship where you just feel like, maybe that person isn't deserving of my love. That love that goes beyond, as good as it is, the emotions of it. We're going to look this morning at what, it's really the second part of what we began 2 weeks ago, what I've called real love. Love from a biblical point of view. Love as it is biblically defined. It's a love that will thrive and will survive any challenge. It goes beyond how you feel and affects the real heart of the matter. The authors in the New Testament had four terms that they could have employed that are all could be translated in English with the word love. The writers of the New Testament chose a particular word that very, very frankly was not often employed in Greek literature of that day. In fact, if you study Greek literature that was in that day that is still in existence today, you don't find it that often. They took this word, and in its noun form, it's agape. In its verbal form, it's agapao. And they embodied this term, which is the word love you find in the Bible most often, with this concept that it's love that is like God's love for us. It is love that is beyond just raw emotions and falling in love. It's love that endures and love that succeeds and love that survives and love that thrives. And it's love in its most basic form. It is love that is not conditional. God will love us and continue to love us, and He has loved us perfectly through the gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're going to understand real love, yeah, we enjoy all of the emotions of it, but if we want to understand real love and that which will really take us to a point of survival, then we have to understand it. This morning, if you want to be turning to John 13, we're going to find out this morning that Jesus is going to reveal for us four key components of real love. Jesus reveals four key components of real love in these texts. And it's interesting that this little package of His teaching on the subject of us loving other people is in the context of this is the night before He is crucified. The words we're going to read were either spoken in the upper room where the Last Supper takes place, or they were spoken on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane where He's going to have this prayer time with His Father. And in that context, one of the things that He seeks to communicate to those that are His closest disciples, His followers, is that we should have genuine, real love for each other. As we unpackage this and let these truths unfold, it's going to help us to move beyond the superficial and help move us into the reality of what genuine, biblical, God-like love is all about. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. First of all, if you look in chapter 13, verse 1, we find this statement, 13:1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, we'll stop there for just a moment. There's a number of places in the Gospel of John, and you can, with a good concordance or a Bible study, some software, you can find them. But there's at least five or six places where this phrase, hour, or either His hour or He's speaking and He says, my hour, is employed. He's not speaking about a 60-minute time frame, but it's a way of describing His appointment, if you want to say it that way, His hour. His appointment to finish the job of being the Savior of the world. His job to finish the redemption price being paid for mankind. And in that setting, He says, my hour, He said even to His own mother, my hour is not yet come. But John, as he editorializes on the events of which he is recording, he says here that Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to His Father. He has a very limited time frame to communicate to His disciples. And look at what what He chooses to teach them. 13, we're going to read it, verse 1 in its entirety. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And then verse 2, He begins a demonstration of that love that we'll talk about in just a moment. But John kind of sets the scene of what Jesus is going to demonstrate and what Jesus is going to teach by saying, having loved His own, He loved them to the end. Maybe you have a translation that says loves them to the uttermost, or a translation that says to the furthest extent. That's really what it means, the furthest extent of love. The first key component of genuine, deep, biblical love is this. Love is boundless. Love is boundless. And as John records it, he says, the love of Jesus for us, having loved His own, He loved them to the absolute extreme furthest reach that love could go. He didn't stop short. He didn't delay. He didn't take a detour. He went to that hour that was appointed to Him, and He succeeded in fully displaying His love for mankind when He gave Himself to be on the cross. It is boundless. It is boundless. Now, take your Bible and look down the next few verses here. We're going to kind of summarize quickly, but notice what He does to demonstrate this. Verse 2, after supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to His hand and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside His garment, took a towel, and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Having loved His own, He loved them to the uttermost. And then He says, here, let me just demonstrate what this means. He rises from the table, which He should have been the guest of honor. I mean, He was the rabbi. He was the one that everyone was paying attention to and listening to. So rather than being the guest of honor, He gets up and takes the form of the lowly servant. And by the way, in the order of servants, whoever got to wash the guest's feet was the lowest of low servants. So he himself does, and he pours the water, and he takes the towel, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet, and they're sitting there in stunned silence. What are you doing? What is he doing? Why is he doing this? He tells us later why he's doing this. In the last little phrase of verse 12, he says this, "Do you know what I've done to you?" Verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." It's boundless, love is, in its real sense. It's not conditional. It takes us to the furthest extent of love. He says, let me show you. I'm going to give up my position. I'm going to give up what I deserve. I'm going to give up what I rightfully should have had for myself. And from that, I'm going to bow and humble myself and just get to this place of extreme humility and servanthood and serve you. We talked about it 2 weeks ago when we did the first part of this thing called real love when we were in Ephesians. You remember what the opposite of love is? The opposite of love is selfishness. Doing everything for me, serving me, honoring me, doing what I want. Love is the opposite. It is serving the other, doing what the other needs, putting the other person first. And is that not what God did when He sent Christ to be our Savior? It is boundless. It's not that we deserved it. We certainly didn't, but He loved us. It's not that we were perfect people. We weren't, but He loved us. It wasn't that we were somehow doing something to earn His favor, for we weren't, but He loved us. He said, I'm willing to humble myself to this point. Love is boundless. But you know what we're good at? Would you like to be uncomfortable for just a moment? I'll be uncomfortable with you. You know what we're good at? We're good at setting the boundaries upon our love. I'll love you as long as you do. I'll love you as long as you do not do. I'll love you as long as I feel. I'll love you until... And we're very good at setting the parameters and the boundaries of when we will love or when we will withhold love. God says, my kind of love is boundless. To the furthest extent of love. Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. To the very furthest extent of love. To the point of being the lowest servant of all to serve them. Now, I don't have the magic sparkle dust to throw over us all today and make us suddenly just loving each other always and ever unconditionally without any conditions. I can't do that, and probably that's a little bit idealistic. But you know what we can do, and this is what I want to encourage you to do, and this is what I want to commit to doing. Love is boundless, so do some stretching. So do some stretching. Would you at least push the boundaries of sometimes what is our conditional love, and stretch them just a little bit further, God's way in His love, which is totally unconditional. And maybe this will help. If I could just kind of push the right button, and I would love to see this happen. Just who is it that you tend to, or maybe currently are, or you have, or withholding your love for or from? They did something, they said something, they didn't do something. I'm going to hold back on that one. I want you to push that envelope, and I want you to stretch a little bit. And if I could just push the button and just have their face come right up, and you could be looking right in their eyes, I'd like to be able to do that. You can do that in your mind. I told you it wouldn't be comfortable. But you know, whoever is flashing in front of you, and maybe they've hurt you, and maybe it's been bad, and maybe it's been a struggle, that's all real. That's not, you don't deny that. You're not living in denial. But you say, with God's help and God's strength, I'm going to at least push the boundaries. And with God's help, I want to love that person. I want to love that person. If you can at least push the boundaries and do some stretching, you're going to be moving closer to what real love is. And remember, it's the cement that holds all things together relationally. Look down to verse 31, same chapter. Secondly, not only is love boundless, love is a choice. Love is a choice. That's the second component of real love we want to look at this morning. And it's really down in verse 34 where we're heading, but I want to read 31 so we get a little bit of the flow of the context here. Verse 31 says this, chapter 13, Gospel of John. So when he had gone out, that means they had left the upper room, and now they're going out. They're heading, by the way, to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is going to pray to his Father. He's going to be teaching them in chapters 14, 15, 16. Chapter 17 is that what we sometimes call the high priestly prayer. Pastor Jones is preaching on that on Sunday evenings. He's entitled the Real Lord's Prayer, because Jesus is praying to his Father. But as that whole series of events starts to unfold, as he's gone out, he says this to them. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, quote, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer." A little while longer. "You will seek me, as I said to the Jews. Where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you..." Put the pause button there for a second. Notice what he just said. Basically, it's a message of separation. I'm going somewhere, and where I'm about to be, you're not going to be with me. Well, they've been together now for 3.5 years. They've been with him. They've followed with him. They've walked with him. And suddenly Jesus announces, and it's bone-jarring, shocking to them when he says to them, "I'm going away, and you can't come." That's part of the dialogue that unfolds down in verse 5 and 6 and so forth of chapter 14, where Thomas says to him, "You know, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way," and so forth. And it unfolds that way. But notice what he does say to them. He said, "I'm going away." The first thing he says, I want to have some last-minute messages for you, some last-minute teaching. Here's number one on the list, verse 34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you would also love one another." You get the point? I'm leaving. Not going to be around to give you more teaching. Number one on the last lesson list is this. You're commanded to love one another. Notice that word commanded. You see, this is not optional. It's in the present tense. It's expected. There are no exceptions. This is God's will for us. You will love. You know, it requires a decision. It requires a decision. If it's a command, we can choose to obey. Does that mean it's easy? Absolutely not. It's by the definition and by reality and practicality, it's extremely difficult. But here's the good news. God never gives a command that he doesn't provide the power for us to obey. If we will appropriate it, and we will do it, and we will choose to do it. Love is a choice. Even if I don't feel like loving, I can still choose to love. Even if that person doesn't deserve my love, I can still choose to love that person. Even if I'm tired of putting up with, you can choose to love that person. After all, how tired does God, could he possibly get in putting up with us? But he doesn't. He continues to love. He says, here's the commandment. Love is a choice. Love is a choice. It's way beyond. It totally transcends human emotion and takes us to the level of a willful, definitive choice that we make to obey God when we choose to love someone. So what's the response? Love is a choice, so choose to love. So choose to love. You know, we've been talking about this relationally in the family. We've been talking about it in the human relationships of the family, the dynamics of the family, parent, child, brother, sister, husband, wife, you know, to adult parents, whatever the extended family relationship most particularly. But you know, love is not bounded by that. We can choose to love anybody. Even the total stranger, we can choose to love. And sometimes for us that is part of the biggest struggle, is that stranger. See if you've been here. You're driving down the road. You're obeying all the laws that govern correct and safe driving, okay? You're driving along. You're minding your own business. You're doing it right. You're driving the speed limit. And suddenly someone takes your right away, zooms right in front of you. And suddenly you're offended. "They took my right away. Why do they let people like that on the highway? Who gave him his driver's license? I'm going to pull up behind him. I'm going to just lay on my horn. I'm going to let him have it." Some of you, this is hitting really close to home, I can tell. I just want you to know, I'm not venting, I'm acting, okay? All right, that's what I'm doing right now. You know, we can be so offended and so, you know, our blood pressure soars and our stress level goes up. You know what? Is that right that someone took your you know, got in front of you? No, it's not right. But you know what? You can choose to love that person. You can just choose to love that person in spite of what a lousy driver they are. Because it's not based on my affirming their actions. It's not based on my emotions. But I can say, okay, I hope if in some wild imaginings, if I ever made a mistake in driving, I hope everybody would love me. You can love the total stranger that way. Why? Because love is a choice, so choose to love. Even if it's that person you may never cross paths again. And based on their current driving, you kind of hope you don't. But you can choose to release that and love them anyway. Love is boundless. Love is a choice. Look at the next verse here in our text, verse 35. And we'll see the third component of real love. Love is authentic. Love is authentic. Or maybe I could have said it this way. Love is authenticating. And that's really kind of where we want to be. Look at the next verse, verse 13. Chapter 13, verse 35. By this, what is this? That's that commandment. If you love one another, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Love's the real deal from the heart of God. Love is what it's all about. That should be the norm for us who are followers of Christ. And it's that which authenticates that we're real. You know what, friends? This is just real simple. This is not complicated. But if we can't love each other in the family of God, if we can't love each other in the family of God, people who are on the outside looking in have every right to question whether we're followers of Christ or not. Because we don't look like it and we don't act like it if we're not loving each other. But I have issues and there's baggage and there's issues and there's hurts. Love's a choice. Love's boundless. There's no excuses. There is no wiggle room here about what God demands for us to love each other. No exceptions. If that puts you in a little bit of a vice grip, tough. That's just the way it is. There is no wiggle room. And he says, that's the negative, but here's the positive. If we truly love each other as Christ loved us, that is absolutely compelling and authenticating that what we have is absolutely real. You know, people can argue with, they do. People will argue that if we say we believe this is a divinely inspired book from the mouth of God. Well, I don't believe that. That's a bunch of stories made up, blah, blah, blah. And we talk about Christ. We say we believe that he was real, that he was God incarnate. He's the Savior of the world, the Jewish Messiah, the coming King. Well, I don't believe that. How do you prove that? I mean, you believe that, he believes this, she believes that, we all believe that, you know. They can question what we believe, they can question the source of our belief, but you know what they can't question? If our lives reflect the character of Christ in loving each other and serving each other as we should, that absolutely cannot be questioned. The reality of how we live and the change that God is producing. That's the reason Jesus says, it's right there in your text, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Love is authentic. It's authenticating. So what do? So live like followers of Jesus. Live like a follower of Jesus. You want to get uncomfortable again? You thought coming to church was going to make you feel good, didn't you? You know what we tend to do? If we're offended, or we're hurt, or we're mistreated, or we have some injustice in our lives, here's what we tend to do. We take that little offense and we grab it in our hands, and we don't want to carry it around so everybody else can see it. We don't want to wear it like a necklace around our neck. Hey, I'm offended. I'm being real obstinate here. I'm refusing to love people. Here it is. We don't do that. You know what we do? We take it and we put it in a little box. And we wrap it up in paper and tie a string around it, and we take it into the home of our heart, and we go up the back stairs into some little storage room where not too many people go, and we go to this little hidden closet, and we pull open the closet door, and we go in there in the dark, and we hide that little fence down under everything else where no one else could see it, and we cover it up, and we close the door, and on the outside it looks like we're doing fine. But you know what? You know where it is. Every once in a while, you go up the stairs and you open the door and you look and make sure that it's still there. And I know where it is. And you know where it is in case you ever are in the situation where I want to right the wrong. And I'm going to go in there and I can go in there and I can unwrap it and I can pull that and I have some ammo to let fly when I need to. You know what Jesus wants to do? Because you're a follower of His, He wants to take you by the hand and says, follow me. We're going somewhere today. We're going to take a little field trip today. You know where we're going? We're going to the home of your heart. And we're going to walk up the back stairs. And we're going to go in that little back room. And you know He's heading for the closet. We're going over to the closet. And we're going to open the door. And we're going to dig through all the clutter in there. And we're going to find the package. And I want you to open it. I want you to peel off the wrapping, open the string. And I want you to reach in there and grab that offense. And I want you to hand it to me. And I'm going to take it down the stairs. I'm going to take it out to the curb where the guys are going to come on Friday and they're going to haul it away. And you know what? If you will allow God to lead you as a follower of Christ to take that little field trip to that place where that offense is tucked away, you know what that's going to do? That's going to open up some room that He wants to fill with joy and comfort and peace and contentment. And the reality that I am living my life like a follower of Jesus Christ. I invite you this morning, why don't you take Jesus' hand and do a little house cleaning in the house of your heart. Maybe there's a few things you need to unpackage and put in His hands and let Him carry away. And let love be the norm as a follower of Christ. We turn over to chapter 15 for one final stop. Chapter 15. This is later in this continuing discourse with the disciples. You know it very well, many of you do, because you've studied it, no doubt. The first few verses of this chapter deal with Him talking about, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. That passage. I want you, your eyes to track down the verses. Go all the way down to verse 13 for just a moment. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Love's not only authentic, but love is the heart of God. Love is the heart of God. That's the fourth component I want you to see this morning. Love is it's just God's heart. It's what really connects with Him. We're told in 1 John that God is love. It's part and parcel of who He is. And when He says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, you understand it's in the context that before the sun sets again, He's going to be nailed to a cross. As we looked at last week, nailed to a cross taking your place, and we should say it should have been me. He lays His life down. He says, I want to teach you guys something about love. The greatest love is not just the frilly, emotional, falling in love stuff that we tend to like and enjoy, but it's a love that says, I sacrifice everything for the benefit of the other person loved. Seeking the highest good for that person. Well, how do you do that? Well, we don't have time, but you got to look at the first 12 verses of chapter 15 where He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, then you produce fruit. You can't do it apart from God's power. And here's the bottom line. You really can't love in the ultimate sense unless you are a follower of Jesus Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, friends, then just walk with Him and talk with Him and listen to Him and fellowship with Him and be among His people and learn His word and learn His ways and adopt His attitudes. It's called just growing in Christ and living for Him and walking with Him. And as we abide in Him, then we can't have this power that is beyond ourselves to lay down our lives for others. You know, we may not be able to give up our life in the sense that we actually die, but we can live our life for others, and that's really the point. Love is at the heart of God, so be willing to live for others. I'm living for your benefit. I'm living for your benefit. Remember, the opposite of love is selfishness. Real love is reaching out to that other person. And if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Christ, let me just say this to you. You're never going to experience real love until you receive His gift of love in Christ. You're never going to be able to ultimately give real love unless you're connected to Him. The Bible says that we are separated from God because of sin. We're all sinners. We're all on the same absolute, same level plane on that issue. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died on the cross as the payment for our sins, because the Bible also declares that the wages of sin is death. The only thing that pays for sin is death. But He died in our place. He took our place. And we receive His salvation as a gift by just putting our faith in Him, by believing in Him, staking our eternal destiny on what He did and leaving it there. And if you haven't done that, I would just encourage you, even this morning, to put your faith in Christ. You can do it in the privacy of your own heart. You can do it where you sit, while you're sitting right where you are, or wherever you're listening to this message. But you know what? If you need help, I invite you to come as we conclude the service. There'll be a pastor here at the front. I'm out there. You can go to the living room. Someone would be happy to share with you what it means to be a follower of Christ. And He waits for you to do that. Have you seen any hearts lately? Have you seen any? I was at the grocery store on Friday, and I could just see all through across the aisles all these balloon hearts, you know, kind of moving through the aisles. Okay, those guys were getting ahead. I hope they didn't lose the helium by today, you know. But hearts everywhere. Maybe you've got hearts. Maybe you have waiting on you. I'm not trying to raise your expectations too high, but maybe you got one of those big heart-shaped boxes full of all that fattening chocolate. I don't know. Maybe that's waiting on you, or a card. But that's the symbol, and rightfully so. That's the symbol of love as we talk about the falling in love, the emotional sense. Because it's at the heart of us. It's the heart center of our emotions. It's a good symbol. But when it comes to real love on a God plane, there is a better symbol of real love, and it's not the heart, but it's this. That's the symbol of real love. Greater love has no man, no one, than this, that a man lay down his life for others. Jesus has done that for you, and if you need to trust Him, we would invite you to let today be the day. For all of us as followers of Christ, a final question. Based on these components, these key components of what real love is, are you ready to love like Jesus loves? I trust we are. Father, thank You for Your word this morning. Thank You for a few moments to spend looking once again into the pages of Your word, hearing again from the words and the heart and the example of our Savior. Father, I pray that You would help us who are followers of Christ to love like You loved, that our love would be boundless, our love would be real and authentic, our love would be a choice that we make in spite of our feelings or even accompanying our feelings. That love means what Your heart is all about. Father, if there be anyone here this morning that does not know Christ as Savior, I pray that You will draw that one to Yourself. Let this be the day that they realize and receive and are washed over by Your infinite, unconditional, gracious love. Help that one make that decision today. We pray in Christ's name.